Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 17 lines from the top of Daf Chof Gimel. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Uma Hein Motzien, when it came to the relay race to the top of the Mizbeach in order to do the Trumas Adeshen, if two Kohanim came out together at the same time, the same point at the finish line, so there was a need to choose between them, and that involved the Kohanim standing and them extending a finger. The Mishnah said, Achas o Shtayim, one or two. One or two fingers, and a number was chosen, and the after counting back and forth between these two Kohanim on whom the number would land, so that was the one that was chosen. So the Mishnah mentioned that he would stick out one or two fingers. So the Gemara asks, Hashto shtayim motzien achas mibaya? If you tell me that he can stick out two fingers, so certainly he can stick out one finger, why does the Mishnah make reference to one or two? So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Chisda, and you'll note that this is a long answer. Rav Chisda says, Lo kashya, kan bebori, kan bechoyle. If it's a person who's strong, bori means healthy, and he has full muscle control, so he would be able to stick out one finger. However, if he's a choyle, if he's ill, and doesn't have that much control over his muscles, his hand muscles, his finger muscles, when sticking out one, so automatically another finger comes along with it. So that's acceptable if he sticks out two. The Gemara points out, V'hatanya, we have a Tanaic source that supports this. Achas motzien, shtayim ein motzien, one is to extend one finger and not two. When do we say that we're insistent on extending just one finger? That's bibori. And we've dashed underlined this because this is the reason we're bringing this source in. That's when you're dealing with a person who's healthy. Avo b'chole, if it's a person who's sick or he's weak, afilu shtayim motzien, he can stick out even two. V'hayichidim, now the term yichidim, there's a bit of a discussion on this regarding this expression. So the Rashi says, "V'chidim b'choyim she'enon yoshvim shar b'nei adam el sheichvin o yoshvin levadom." Now the Bach comments on this, and he says, "V'li nira borod yichidim haynu rabbonon kivisa betaynis." The word yichidim is a reference to the Talmidei Chachomim, and it could be that the Gemara refers to them I believe it's Maseches Nedarim. There are two expressions, it's Ksiri Umri, and one of them is there are two expressions referring to people that are infirm, and one of them in fact is a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim, possibly on the basis of the idea that Torah Mateshes Koichel Shel Adam, as you can see in the story involving Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Maseches Bava Metzia. So the Yechidim motziim shtayin ve'ein moinin lohem elo achas. The Yechidim, the Chachomim, they extend, they may be extending two fingers, but when counting, they're counted as just one. The Gemara asks a question, ve'ein moinin lo elo achas, is that really so that we count the person that extended two fingers as only one? The Ha Tanya, ein motziim lo shlish ve'lo gudol. One is not to extend a shlish, is the third finger, the middle finger, nor a gudol, a thumb, mitnei horamoyim, because of those people that are underhanded, whereby they would see that the number is about to end on the next person, and they'll extend, let's say, a thumb and another finger, spreading them apart, causing it to be misled, and thinking that it's two different people, and the number would end on them. So we don't accept sticking out a shlish or a gudel. V'im hoitzi shlish moinen loy. If He sticks out the middle finger, so it is counted. Now, right now, the havamina is that by saying that it is counted, it sounds like it's counted as he's counted as two people. We have a bracketed section because we wanted to focus only on this point. The source continues, but it's tangential information right now. Gudol ein monin lo. If he sticks out a thumb, so he won't be counted. V'lo oid elo shaloika min ha-memuna bepokia. Not only that, but he'll get lashed by the person who's appointed over the pokia. The pokia is a reference to someone who is in charge of straps for lashing purposes. But for our purpose, though, we're not interested right now in focusing on he who extended his thumb. But it said if he extends the third finger, he's counting. He's being counted. He'll be counted as, it seems like, two people. So the Gemara says, no. My moinin lo nami, when the source says that he is counted, it means achas. He's counted just as one person. My pokia, in the source we just read, in the bracketed section, we saw he is lashed from the one appointed over the pokia. So what is that? Omar Rav. Rav explains, mardo. Madra. So the Gemara asks that word is not clear. My madra, what is that? Omar Rav Papa, metarko de tayi, de posik reshe. To get maximum benefit of this, let's just look at Rashi. Metarko de tayi, ritsuos yishmelim. The word tayi is a reference to yishmelim Arabs. The ritsuos are straps of Arabs, so asuya shoit le susim. It's used as a means of smacking or of hitting horses to hasten their pace. The posik reshe, Rashi continues, that means their tips are cut off. Lekach kruya pakia. It's called, the word pakia is used for these straps, she'eno ruchava b'roisha, kishar ritsus malkus. They're not wide tips or wide ends as other lashing straps. Ela mafsekis. But rather the ends are cut or frayed into sub straps. Kideshi Yargish Bo Hasus Yoiser. That'll increase the pain to the horse which is being whipped. Upakia Loshan Pisuk. The word pakia is something that is slit or cut, so that if you have a strap that has a certain amount of width to it and then you fray it or cut it into thin straps at the tip, at the end, that's the term pokia. So the word pokia is a loshon pisuk ustokim, also cracks. Kamo mibloi michnesei kehanim mafkiim. The Gemara elsewhere that discusses the making of the wicks for the menorah, so it describes the taking the worn out pants of the Kohanim, clothing, mafkim, and then fraying them. Loshon kriya, it's an expression referring to tearing. So you see that the word pakia has a number of different nuances. Pisuk, stokim, kriya, all having to do with fraying something or cutting something into smaller sections. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabaye. And here a point is made. You'll notice it takes a number of lines to develop. Abaye says, Meiresh have amino. At first, I used to think, Ha desnan ben bevai memuna ala pakia. There is a Mishnah in Masechet Shkolim that says, ben bevai, that's someone's name. He says he was appointed over the pakia. Amino psilta. I used to think that the word pakia means he was appointed over the wicks. Kidisnan, as it is said in the following Tanakh source. You'll see we've dashed underlined on the beginning of the, skipping a line, the word mafkin, just like we mentioned we saw in the Rashi. So it says, Mibloi michnesei kehanim, from the worn out blois, the worn out pants of the kehanim, umehemainehem, and from their belts, hoyu mafkin, they would fray them, ubohen hoyu madlikin, and after they frayed them, they would make them into, wicks, and though through them, they were used as madlikin, as lighting for the menorah. So that's what Abai says. I used to think that Memun Apaki was the one in charge of the wicks, coming from the word mafkin. Kevon de shamano leho desanio. Then Abai continues saying, when I heard the following, quote from the source we had just above in the bracketed section, and I heard velo oidel shaloika mina memuna bepakia. I heard that he who violates the rules of finger extension and sticks out a thumb, he gets lashed by the one appointed over the pakia. So amino, I figured my pakia nagdo. The word pakia is a reference to a strap used for lashing. So Abaye had a, we'll say, a change of mind in the course of things. The Gemara continues, Maisa Shohayu Shneim Shavin V'Rotzin V'Oilim B'Kevesh. There was reported in our Mishnah that they were running up the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach in order to determine who would be the one to the Trumas Hadeshin that morning, or that well, say very early or pre-dawn action of ash removal. And then it went on to say that someone ended up being pushed off the Mizbeach, off the ramp, and breaking his leg. And it said V'Nishbora Ragloi. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, and mivneh, structural note, combined into one. We have a double underline, which is one of our series markings. Shnei meisim. We're highlighting two incidents, beis takolos, two misfortunes, two mishaps. The merutzas hakevish, when it came to the run up the ramp of the mizbeach. So we have two incidents. The Mishnah made reference to one of them. The Gemara continues, Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. After noting, by the way, that the first double underline Maisa, we call that Aleph, and now we have another Maisa. We call this Beis. Maisa b'shnei kehanim, shoyu shneim shavin, v'rotzin v'oilim b'kevish. There were two kehanim that were running, and they were equal, same pace, running up the ramp. Kidam echod mehem, l'soich arba amos shochavero. One of them entered the four amos of the other one, and notal sakin v'toka lo belibo, and he took out a knife and impaled it in his friend's heart. Omad Rabbi Tzadok amalo se'ulam. Rabbi Tzadok was standing on the stairs leading up to the ulam. The omar, the ulam is the chamber leading into the heichal. It's the antechamber of the heichal of the Beis Hamikdash. So he's standing on the stairs leading up to the ulam. The omar, and he declared, "Ochenu Beis Israel, Shimu, brethren Israel, listen, hearken. Hare hu omer. It says ki motzei cholo ba'adama." It says, if a corpse is found out in the fields, and the sages and judges of the nearest communities will come out, and that is known as the Parsha of Eglo Arufa. And in that Parsha in the Torah, in that section of the Torah, so a measuring is done to find which city is closer to the corpse, and they bring the closer city brings brings an egel, a calf, and its neck is broken, and a declaration is made that we were not guilty of we were not responsible for this person's death. We're not here in learning Maseches Yoma. We're not going to get into the details of that particular parsha of Egla Rufa, but nevertheless, that is what happens when a murder victim is found, and we don't know who the murderer is. So it says regarding that incident, that the closer city brings the Egla Rufa, and its neck is broken in an untilled valley. Onu, continues Rabbi Tzadok, saying, Almi lahavi eglo arufa. Who's supposed to provide here for this? In this case, where this murder took place on the ramp of the mizbeach, who's supposed to bring the eglo for over here? Alohir or alazoros, the people in the city, people over here in the courtyards. Of course, he was saying all of this to arouse their emotions. Go'u kol ha'om b'vchiyo, and the community, the assembled there, broke out in sobs and crying. The father of this young man, the victim, came seeing him while he was in mefarper means he was twitching. In other words, he was in the throes of death. His body was still twitching. Omar, and the father says, Hare hu kaparaschem. Let him be your atonement. V'adayim b'ni mefarper v'lo nitmo sakin. But my son is still twitching, and as such, so the knife that's impaled in his heart is still not tome. It hasn't become defiled, because in this state of pure poor of twitching, so he's not considered dead, which would communicate defilement to the knife. So that's what was on the father's mind. He was noticing that his son was in the throes of death, but he also was paying attention to the fact that the knife was not yet defiled. L'lamdecha, this shows us, shekosh aleim taras kelim yoisim yishvichus domim, that the issue of the purity of the vessels was of greater concern than murder, than the spilling of blood. V'chenu Omer, and the Pasuk likewise reflects this, the we'll call it the cheapness of human life. It says, V'gam dam noki shofach Menashe harbe ma'od. The king Menashe was a king in the latter part of the first Beis HaMikdash period. He said, the Pasuk notes, credits him with a great deal of blood spillage. Ad asher mile es Yerushalayim peh lofeh, until the Jerusalem was filled from, like as we say in English, the streets were filled with blood, until it was this place, the Jerusalem was filled with blood from peh lofeh, from mouth to mouth. Parenthetically, I have said in the past that this pasuk is also symbolic of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is evil speech of one's fellow man. And the Gemara regards Lashon Hara as if one is shedding the victim's blood. The pasuk refers to Harvas Lashonim, their tongues that are like swords. And as such, this pasuk here, which says there was a lot of blood filling Jerusalem, peh la peh, meaning from mouth to mouth, I take it as a type of remez to the evil and the danger of Lashon Hara. But for our Gemara, in the context of our Gemara, it seems to be referring to murder in the literal sense. So Gemara right now notes that there are two incidents, two calamities that resulted from this running up the ramp. The Gemara asks, "Hey, Maisa Kodim, which one of these two incidents was earlier chronologically?" In Lema Dishvichus Domim, if you are going to think that the second Maisa, the Beis Maisa, the Maisa involving the murder, was earlier. So the question would be raised, Hashta Ashvichus Dom Lo Tokinu Paisa, on the heels of that, we don't see them having established the counting method of determining who should be the Kohen to do the Trumas Adeshen. As we said in the Mishnah, we saw that originally it was people, whoever would reach the top of the Mizbeach first, the area, without getting into details, where we discussed the issue of within four amos of the top of the Mizbeach, whoever would reach that area first, he would be the chosen one. And if you have a couple of Kohanim that are equal, so then the pious finger extending counting method would be the means of determining. So the Gemara is pointing out that if you say that this murder story had taken place chronologically first, and on the heels of that we don't see them having established the pious method, so if in the case of such a serious calamity they didn't establish the pious anishpura raglo tokinu, on the basis of someone falling off the ramp, they would establish the pious ela. So you'll have to say the nishpura raglo kodim. The incident involving the falling off the ramp and breaking of the leg took place. The Gemara asks, "V'kevon de tokinu paiso." Well, if they established the pious in terms of the means of determining who should be the kohen to do the Trumas Hadeshen, well, once that was established already from that original mishap of falling off the Mizbeach, then Arba Amos Mayavidatai, what's the nature of the race up the Mizbeach reaching that was featured in the Beis Maisa, the Maisa that we just read in the Tanaic source? Doesn't seem to any need for running up the Mizbeach and someone getting into the four amos of his friend. what's the nature of those four amos? Eloli oilom teshvichus domim kodim. So we have to conclude as follows, that really the incident, the calamity involving the death, that's the story with the murder, took place first. And they thought akroi ba'almahu, that it was a one-time incident that happened, and there was no need to establish any other means, and they can continue the race method of determining who would be the one to do the Trumas Hadeshen. However, came the Chozi afilu memela osu lidei sakona. Once they saw that even through something not premeditated, a dangerous situation arose, as was the case in the breaking of the leg, then they said this whole running thing could lead to is dangerous in general. So Tokinu, Rabbonan Paisa, only at that point did they establish the finger extension counting method of determining who would be the going to do the Trumas Hadeshen, thereby abandoning the race up the ramp approach. The Gemara continues with a quote from that which we had above. You can see we have a star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Omad Rabbi Tzadok Amala Se'ulam. Rabbi Tzadok stood on the stairs leading up the Ulam of Yomar, and he decried, Achenu Beis Israel Shimu, brethren Israel, hearken, Harehu Omer Ki Motze Chol Ba'adoma Anan Almi Lahavi Al Ha'ir O Azaros. In the case of the murder victim found between two cities, so we know what the procedure is with regard to the Eglo Arufa, the calf neck breaking ceremony. But as far as we are concerned, so who is supposed to bring the Eglo Arufa? The city here, or the people in the courtyards? The Gemara asks, looking at Rabbi Tzadok's words and taking him literally, the Gemara asks, V'Yushalayim Bas Asuye Eglo Arufa Hi. He mentioned the ear. The ear, in this case, would be the city of Jerusalem, because the Beis HaMikdash is located in Jerusalem. But is it so that Jerusalem is subject to bringing the Eglo Arufa? In other words, if you had a situation where a murder victim was found between Jerusalem and another city, and it turned out Jerusalem was the closer of the cities to the corpse, would Jerusalem be responsible for providing the Eglo Arufa? V'ha Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source, and this source, this question lasts till the second line from the top of Amud Beis, and it says, Asor Dvorim Nemru B'Yerushalayim. There are 10 points that were stated with regard to Jerusalem, and there are three words that we'll just skip initially. It says, Eino Mevio Eglo Arufa, and one of the points is that it does not bring the Eglo Arufa. And just let's read that line again. Asor Dvorim Nemru B'Yerushalayim V'zu Achas Mehem, and this is one of those things, that it's Eino Mevio Eglo Arufa, that it doesn't bring the Eglo Arufa. When this source is really a quote from Maseches Bava Kamma, where there are 10 unique features to Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, for our purposes, we are in the middle of a question where we see that, contrary to what Rabbi Tzadok says, that Jerusalem is not a place that would be capable or eligible of bringing an Eglo Arufa. And furthermore, the whole announcement of Rabbi Tzadok is hard to understand, because the pasuk in the case of Eglo Arufa says Lo Noda Mihiko Ksiv. It's brought this. The calf is brought in the event that we don't know who the real murderer was. So there's an interim form of atonement that is accomplished through the bringing of the Eglo Arufa. However, that's only where you don't know who the murderer was. V'ha, but in the case of the race up the Kevesh, Noda, Mihiko, it was known who the murderer was. So what was Rabbi Tzadok saying? So as we said before in our explanation, Rabbi Tzadok was simply trying to arouse the emotions of the crowd. Ela, kedei laharbois mevuchia. He wasn't trying to arouse their emotions, and he wasn't saying things that were halachically accurate to the letter of the law, but rather expressing emotion. The source had said, and here we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, so you can align this with the arrow on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph to find where this quote comes from. And it said, Bo Aviv Shel Tinok Umotzoik Shumafarper, the father of the young man who had been murdered by the murderer, the sword being stuck into this victim's heart, and he found him kshumafabri, found him while he was still twitching. Omar, and the father announced, Harehu kaparaschem, my son, let him be your atonement. Vadayin beni kayom, but my son is still alive, namely the sakin has not been, and velo nitmo sakin, the knife has not become defiled yet through its contact with a dead person. My son is still alive. So that was what was on the father's mind. And the source pointed out, Lelamdecha, this teaches us, Shekosh Aleim Taras Kelim Yoser Mishrifus Domim, that it was more of a pain, more of a source being upset, seeing a vessel defiled, than murder itself. The Gemara asks a question, which is a matter of putting things in perspective. Ibayalaho, and you see it's broken down into an Aleph Oidilmo Bay structure, two sides of the question. Aleph, the first side is Shvichus Domim Hu Dezol Avotas Kein Kidekaima Kaima. Is it that human life was very cheap at that point in time? Literally, that murder, the spilling of blood, was something that was viewed as very insignificant, as something zol, as cheap. But as far as the purity of vessels, that was as it always was. So that the first side of the question is it simply that human life was very cheap in their eyes? Or was it rather that human life was as it always was? That had not become cheapened. But in that particular generation, the purity of vessels had become very very important, very stringent in their eyes. Toshma. So the Gemara answers, from the source itself you can see what the answer is. Midakonosiv lo tamuda, from the fact that the source brought as its proof, Vegam dam noki shofach menashe, that the pasuk that was felt to be relevant to the case involving the incident was the pasuk involving Menashe, who had murdered many people. Shma mino shvichus domim hu dezol. It shows us that life had become very cheap. Vataras kelim kidekaimo kaimo. And as far as purity of vessels is concerned, that it remained as it always was in their eyes. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a general topic heading, Nosei Kloli, on the side. And you can see we've written there, Trumas Hadeshen, Vehoitzoas Hadeshen. The issue that will be dealt with in this sugya has to do with the initial ash removal and the subsequent clearing out of all of the ash from the Mizbeach. The initial ash removal is a ceremony where, and this is what we've been discussing till now, where a pan full of ash is taken from within the fireplace of the Mizbeach, and it's then brought down to the floor of the Azorah, to the eastern side of the ramp, and placed on the floor, and miraculously that ash, which is called the Trumas Hadeshen, was absorbed into the floor. After that, there was need for clearing away all of the ash from the Mizbeach. That's called Hoitzoas Hadeshen. We have a source here that begins with a quote from a pasuk. Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav. This pasuk is quoted is a ref pasuk Dalid. However, before that, pasuk Gimel, which is pasuk Gimel, mentions, and we have this on the side of the Gemara. If you can find it by looking down the side of the Gemara, you'll see a quote Vayikra Perek Vav pasuk Gimel, and it refers to the Trumas Hadeshen, which in pasuk Gimel. This is done earlier than what the source will be opening with Pasuk Dalid. So just to get a flavor of things, in Pasuk Gimel it says, V'lovash ha-koyin mido bad, u'michnesei bad yilbash al-besoro, v'heirim es ha-deshen. The heirim is also the word teruma, is to lift out the ash from the fireplace itself. That we said that's a pan full of ashes removed. And then the next Pasuk Dalid, is what our source begins. He removes the garments that he was wearing prior to this. He removes them and puts on begodim achir, other clothing, v'hoitzi es hadeshen, and then removes the rest of the ash from the fireplace. Shomani, should I think, Shomani literally means I hear from this, kederech yoim hakipurim, shepoishet bigdei kodesh velovesh bigdei choil. Now this line is very terse, and there's quite a bit of discussion that you find in the different Meforshim. So the idea of citing Yom Kippur, and in fact there's some Gersos that say we shouldn't even make mention here of Yom Kippur because there is lack of parallel. However, on Yom Kippur, between different activities, there was the Yom Kippur was naturally, it's a holiday, but it's also a day in the week. So there were daily activities that were done on Yom Kippur as well. In addition to those daily activities, there was the special Yom Kippur related service in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we know on Yom Kippur there was a change of clothing between the daily related activities and the special Yom Kippur activities. The daily activities on Yom Kippur were done wearing what's called Big Day Zav. The Kohen Gadol would do the Yom Kippur activity. Kohen Gadol wore 8 garments on a daily basis, and they were called the Big Day Zav. He would change the Big Day Zav, which are literally the golden clothing, because some of the clothing had gold on them. He would change from the golden clothing to the Big Day Zav, and to the 4, it would go from the 8 daily clothing to the 4 Yom Kippur linen clothing. That's as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, change in clothing. The idea here is to extract from Yom Kippur to what we're discussing now, dealing with the ash, called the common denominator. Common denominator has to do with changing of clothing. So this source is saying, Shomani, should I derive, like Yom Kippur, Sheposhet Bigdei Kodesh Velovesh Bigdei Chol, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did a switch of clothing. So to here, should I conclude that the Kohen here, this has nothing to do with the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen is doing the Trumas HaDeshen, who is then going to continue removing the rest of the ash that he takes off his Big Day Kodesh that he was using for the Trumas HaDeshen, for the initial ash pan removal, and then put on weekday common garments. Should I conclude that? Well, once again, I know this might sound a little confusing, but we're citing here Yom Kippur. If you're going to maintain this as the Girsa, that Yom Kippur represented a change, and here when you're dealing with the Kohen Hedyot, there was no option of change, because a Kohen Hedyot, unlike a Kohen Gadol, had only one set of clothing year-round, and that was the 4 standard begodim of a Kohen Hedyot, common Kohen. So if you're going to make any reference to a change, it would then seemingly be going from his Big Day Kodesh, from his regular Kohen Hedyot clothing, and put on Big Day Chol, weekday clothing. So is that what happens here? Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, Ufoshat es begodov velovash begodim achirim. Makish, in this pasuk we see a comparison. Begodim, makish means we compare begodim sheloivesh le begodim sheposhet. We are comparing the begodim that he is going to now put on for the hoitzoas hadeshen, for the removal of the rest of the ash, and we compare that to the clothing that he is just taking off, that he was taking off having done the trumas hadeshen, as we saw in pasuk Gimel. Now in Pasuk Gimel it said there, V'lovash HaKohen, we read that already, Pasuk Gimel on the side of the Gemara, where he puts on Kohen clothing for the Trumas HaDeshen. So we are comparing the clothing that he's going to use for the Hoitzoas HaDeshen in Pasuk Dalid to the clothing that he had been wearing, that he's now taking off, that was referenced in Pasuk Gimel. We compare, let's read the line again, Makish Begodim Shaloibesh LeBegodim Shaposhet. We compare the Begodim that he is putting on now for the Hoitzoas HaDeshen to the clothing that he is taking off, Mal Alon Big Day Kodesh, just like the clothing that he had been wearing for the Trumas HaDeshen, were holy Kohen clothing, Afkan Big Day Kodesh. So to here, regarding Hoitzoas HaDeshen, he's also wearing Kohen clothing, and not his overalls or his jeans or whatever common weekday clothing the person might be wearing. Im Kain, Ma Talmud Lomar Achirim. So if you're saying that the for the Hotzatz Adeshin, he's also wearing Kohen, holy Kohen clothing. So how is that Achirim? Achirim means something different. What's different about them? Answer, Pusin Mehem. They're different in the sense that for the Hotzatz Adeshin, they're going to be lesser clothing, lesser in terms of lesser, in terms of value, in terms of quality. Rashi says, "Kigon shchokim o mipishtan sheino mutzav." It's from they're worn out, or they're made of linen that's not a glistening type of linen. The ein dmeim yukorim, and their expense or their cost is not much. Shel efer malach lechom shenoisei chutz lemachne. The efer, the ash, is going to soil the clothing as he is carrying it out of the camp. So Gnai Lemelech Shei Mishamish Bohen Al Mizbeach Bavoidas Achila. It would not be fit for him, the Kohen, to wear dirty clothing when he is engaged in Avodas Achila, means engaged in offering sacrifices on the Mizbeach, which is said to be the Mizbeach is consuming in terms of eating that which is being offered. So that we don't want him serving the king and feeding the king, the Almighty, so to speak. Of course, all of this is so to speak. The Kodesh Baruch doesn't eat anything, but the service of offering sacrifices on the Mizbeach should not be done in clothing that are soiled, which will inevitably take place as a result of his carrying them outside of the camp. So, therefore, there's a separate set of clothing, lesser value clothing, worn out or lesser quality, for Hotzatz Adeshin, but they were sanctified Kohen clothing. The source continues, Reb Elezer Omer, Achirim v'Hotzi. What he is doing is he is looking at the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk we saw quoted at the beginning of the source, it says, V'lovash begodim Achirim v'Hotzi. So he's focusing on those two words, Limeid al hakehanim bale mumin shekshirim Lahoitzi Hadeshen. A Kohen Baal Mum is a blemished Kohen. It was, generally speaking, unfit to serve in the offering of sacrifices. So Rabbi Elezer is taking the word Achirim, not going on the clothing, but going on the Kohanim. So you have the Pasuk saying, V'lavash begodim, who will be wearing the clothing for Hotzatz Hadeshen? Achirim, other kinds of Kohanim, going on the people, meaning blemished Kohanim. So according to Rabbi Elezer, a Kohen Baal Mum is fit for this action of Hotzatz Adeshin, of the removal of the ash from the Mizbeach, and taking it out of the camp. Omar Mar, Achirim Pusin Mehen. We saw in the source a reference to the lesser quality clothing for the Hotzatz Adeshin, Kidetona Debe Rabbi Shmuel, as is in accordance with the Tanaic source from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, the Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. The teaching that comes from the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael says, "Begolim shebisha b'hen kidei l'raboi, lo yimzoi b'hen kois l'rabo." And this is a source that is really an analogy, and we explained it already, but here the focus is on clothing that were used for cooking the food. Now, anyone who's spent any time in a kitchen cooking up a meal would, if he wants to preserve his clothing, he'll wear an apron or have a change of clothing of, let's say, of lesser quality, because it's not proper for a slave who cooked up a meal for his master to wear those very clothing in serving the master drinks, serving him directly, standing in front of him, pouring wine and serving his master. So that's the moshal and the nimshal. The purpose of the analogy is the kohen who is going to be involved in the Hotzatz Adeshin, which is during which his clothing will get dirty. He shouldn't be wearing those clothing for doing avoda in the Beis Hamikdash in offering sacrifices. Now, it's pointed out that as far as the Trumas Adeshin itself is concerned, since he was involved, it involved a very small amount of ash, just a little panful of ash, the fear of his clothing becoming soiled wasn't something of concern. We continue in the Gemara, and we should note on the side, we have a topic heading, Haromas Hadeshin, the issue of Trumas Hadeshin. That was that initial removal of ash from the fireplace on the altar and placing it down by the side of the ramp. Haroma Sadeshin, I Avodahi. Is it considered an avoda, a formal sacrificial activity? Nafgamina, the issue at hand will be the practical bearing in this issue, this question is, Kohen Ba'almum, a Kohen who is blemished, and Dalit Begodim, the need for wearing four articles of clothing. Now in our markings, we're going to see the expressions Machlokes and Divrei HaKol highlighted with a double underline. So, and we're going to see here a Machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So our Gemara, Omar Reish Lakish, Kemachlokes Bohitsa, Kach Machlokes Beharoma. Just like we saw a Machlokes concerning, Machlokes between our Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer in the source, just a few lines up, where Rabbi Lezer was allowing a Kohen Balmum to be engaged in the Hoitsoa Sadeshen. So Reish Lakish says, just like there is a Machlokes regarding Hoitsoa Sadeshen, Tanakama, Rabbi Lezer regarding the Kohen who was Balmum, where Rabbi Lezer allows the Balmum to be involved in Hoitsoa Sadeshen, Kach Machlokes Beharoma. So too, the Tanoim will argue regarding Harom Trumas Hadeshen, and Rabbi Eliezer will allow a Balmum to do the Trumas Hadeshen. That's a rather dramatic opinion. Allowing a Kohen who's blemished to do the Trumas Hadeshen. That is Reish Lakish's take on the Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Machlokes Bohitsa. The whole Tanaic controversy involves only the removal of the ash from the top of the Mizbeach. That's removing the ash from the Zeach and taking it out of the Beis HaMikdash. Avol. Beharoma, Divrei HaKol Avodim. As far as Trumas Hadeshen is concerned, everyone, even Rabbi Lezer, will concede that a Balmum cannot do it because it is classified as an Avoda, a formal, called formal sacrificial activity. And a Balmum is excluded from doing that. My time of the Reish Lakish, what is the basis of Reish Lakish? Now Reish Lakish presented to us the possibility, or he presented us with Rabbi Eliezer as saying that the Trumas Hadeshen could be done by a Balmum. So what's the basis for Reish Lakish? Omar Loch. Reish Lakish will answer you, and he will answer you certainly in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, who would allow a Balmum for Trumas Hadeshen. He says, "E salka daita chavodihi, if it were so that that Trumas Hadeshen is classified as an avoda, would it be possible to do an avoda, a formal avoda, wearing just two clothing?" Now, if you look at the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel, which focuses on the Trumas Hadeshen, that it says Velofash HaKohen Mido Bad, and Mido is a reference to the Ksoines, the shirt, the tunic of the Kohen. It says he would wear the Mido Bad Umichnase Bad Yilbash Abasur. There are two articles of clothing that are featured in the pasuk. So Reish Lakish tells you that if it were so, that Trumas Hadeshen is a real avoda, is there any other avoda that's acceptable with wearing just two priestly vestments? It must be that it's not an avoda. And if it's not an avoda, so there's room to suggest that a Balmum could do it. For Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's response is, Goli Rachmona B'Ksoinus U'Mechasayim, the Torah reveals the need for wearing the Ksoinus, which we said was referred to as Mido Bad in the Pasuk, and the Mechasayim, it says so explicitly, V'adin L'Mitznefes V'Avneit, and the same halacha applies as well, that he is to wear the Mitznefes, the cap, and the Avneit, the belt, all four garments. Rashi, a few lines down from here, says, Goli Rachmona B'Ksoinus U'Melosayim V'Lim Decha, and the Torah teaches us, She'eno K'shera B'Bigdei Chol Shelo. He cannot wear his common daily garments for this, for Trumas Hadeshen, U'Mei Elecho, Ato Lomeid, and on your own you learn, She'i Avoda, it is a formal sacrificial type activity. And I will on my own conclude that you are, that the Kohen is required to have the other two of the four articles, a total of four articles of called the priestly vestments for Trumas Hadeshen. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, no one is going to suggest that Trumas Hadeshen would be allowed to be done by a Kohen Baal Mum, because it is a formal avoda. The Gemara continues, Umay Shno Hani. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he needs to wear all four, so why does the Torah specify the Ksoines and the Michnasayim? The Midobad, which we said was the Ksoines and the Michnasayim. As Rashi says, the Torah could have remained silent, and I would have figured that he is to wear all four. And how would I know that? Because the Pasuk says, V'lovash HaKohen, the Pasuk uses the word Kohen. And oftentimes the Shas mentions that when you see the word Kohen, it means Bekihuno, while wearing the clothing that signify that he is a Kohen. So the question is, if Rabbi Yochanan is correct, that for Trumas Hadeshen he's to really be wearing all four, why does the Torah bother mentioning two of the four? The Gemara answers, well, the words that the Torah used, namely Mido Bad, is a reference to the Ksoines and the Michnasayim, each one of these teaches me something. And that's explained right now in the Gemara. Mido Bad, Mido equals Kamido So. The word Mido indicates that it has to be to his fit, which from this we learn that clothing that are dragging on the, if they're too long, they're dragging on the ground, or they're too short, they're misulokis, they are not acceptable. They have to be a proper fit. Michnasei bad, what does the Torah want me to learn by the fact that it mentions michnasei bad explicitly? L'chidisanya, the words michnasei bad teaches me the following. Minayin shlo yeh dover koidim l'chosayim. That when the clothing, when the Kohen is putting on his clothing, that he should, that the first article of Kohen vestments, Kohen clothing that he is placing on him, it shall be the michnasayim. That's the first article of clothing. So from where do I know that? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, michnasei bad yilbash al besoro. The word albisoro means on his flesh, which implies that while he is still, at the point that he's still unclothed, and he has nothing other than his flesh on him, then he is to place on his flesh, on his nakedness, he places the michnasei bad, the linen pants. So Rabbi Yochanan says that that's the reason the Torah specified these two articles, but not to the exclusion of the other two. He's got to be wearing all four for the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen, we're sounding a little repetitious, but all the same. The Trumas Hadeshen requires the Kohen to wear all four clothing. Through that we see that a Baal Mum would not be acceptable. We continue. Nemo ketanoi. Now, when you see in the Shas the word nemo or emo or lemo, these words indicate a question is being asked, and almost all the time the question is then rejected, or whatever is suggested in the question is going to be rejected. And this question will include a long Tanaic source, and you'll see it takes you down six lines from the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. What is the question? Shall we say that the machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, regarding how to look at Trumas Hadeshen, is it considered an avoda, a formal Beis HaMikdash activity, yes or no, that issue is a machlokis tanoim. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, they were amoroyim, and they were arguing about that. But shall we say that they were preceded by an earlier generation of tanoim that argued over this? So let's see if that's really the case. That it's an earlier machlokas tanoim. The pasuk says by Trumas Hadeshen al besoro, and we pointed out earlier, this is from Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel. Ma Talmud Lomar Yilbash. Why does the Torah add the word Yilbash? the Rashi points out on the second line under the Gemara, in the middle, V'havilei l'michtavu michnas sebat al besaro, and the linen pants shall be on his flesh. The beginning of the pasuk already mentioned the lovash hakohen. If you should learn this Gemara together with the one finger on the pasuk at the beginning of the pasuk, it says the lovash hakohen mido bad, and it could have just relied on the fact that the lovash means and he shall wear. At the beginning, where it says he shall wear his mido bad umichnas sebad, why does it add in the pasuk yulbash al basar? That seems to be redundant. So that's the issue that this source is dealing with. Why does it say yulbash? Answer: lahavi mitznefes v'avneit laharoma. The extra word comes to include the two additional articles of clothing that aren't mentioned explicitly, the mitznefes, the head cap, and the avnet, the belt, for laharoma, for the initial ash removal from the fireplace of the mizbech. That's Rebbe Yehuda's approach. So what do you see in the meantime? According to Rebbe Yehuda, Trumas Hadeshen necessitates the wearing of all four garments. Rebbe Dosa Omer. Rebbe Dosa, in looking at the posuk that said al besaro, and we said that there are extra words, so he says l'rabois bigdei kayin gadol biyoim hakipurim shekshirim l'kayin hedyot. It's coming to tell me that the four priestly garments that a kohen gadol wears for his Yom Kippur, for the Yom Kippur activity, the specific Yom Kippur activity, as we mentioned earlier, he wears only four special linen garments, that those four garments are suitable, and I hope you like the pun, suitable, that they are appropriate for a common kohen in his daily service in the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe, upon hearing Rebbe Dosa, says, Shtei Tshuvos, but I have two objections, two responses, or two objections. Chado, the avnet shel kohen gadol lo ze hu avnetoi shel kohen hedyot. The avnet of the kohen gadol that he is wearing on Yom Kippur, we know that it's a pure linen avnet. That is not the avnet that would be suitable for a kohen hedyot. The kohen hedyot avnet, according to this approach, and this is a topic we've learned in previous dapim, the kohen hedyot avnet is made of kilayim, a mixture of wool and linen we call shatnez. So to suggest that a kohen gadol set of four clothing can be used by a kohen hedyot throughout the year, there would be a lack of appropriateness, at least in the form of the avnet. The oid, and a second objection, begodim shnishtamashta bohen kedusha chamura tishtamesh bohen kedusha kala, clothing that were used for the special high holy day of Yom Kippur service in the Beis HaMikdash. Kedusha chamura means an intense level of sanctity, clothing that he wore into the Holy of Holies to do the activity done only once a year, the highest form of Beis HaMikdash service. Clothing that were worn for that. Could you imagine that they would be worn for Kedusha Kala, lesser level of sanctity type activity, as is represented by the Kohen Gadol year-round activities? If you were using it for something of great sanctity, you're not now going to use it for something of a lesser level. So, Elomar Tamar Lomar Yilbash. So then, what am I to do with the extra expression of Yilbash that we saw in the Pasuk? L'rabois, we're continuing at the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. L'rabois es hashchokim, to include for all activity, even clothing that happened to be worn out. As long as it's not torn, it's just worn out, it's still suitable for Beis HaMikdash service. Before we go further, let's just glance at Rashi here at the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. Rashi says, "L'rabos shchokim shekshirim l'chol avodo, b'vat shelo yimikuroin." As long as they're not actually torn, v'chkama b'zvochim, and that's what it says in Masechah Zvochim. V'ozda Rabbi Doisa l'tamei lo shayachachol lemeimar dohakula milsa agav gror nasvo. And here, Rashi points out that it's not appropriate to have in the Girsa this observation that Rabbi Dosa is consistent with what he said elsewhere. Let's continue now in our Gemara text, top line, V'nichom Shum. This is the Tanakama, because there's going to be another approach to this pasuk later in the source. Now take note, this is a new source, or new area of pasuk quotation. This is from Vayikra Tezayin. This is a reference to the clothing of the Kohen Gadol that he was wearing on Yom Kippur. And it says, V'hinicham Shem, upon the conclusion of his Yom Kippur's activity, says he shall place them there. Malamed Shetu'unin Geniza. This tells us, according to the Tanakhama, that they are to be buried or hidden away, never used again. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Rabbi Dosa says, Ru'uyin Hein L'Kohen Hedyo. Well, this is just as we saw this before with Rabbi Dosa, who said that the expression of Yilbash was to be Marba Kohen Gadol clothing for a Kohen Hedyot. So Rabbi Dosa isn't going to agree Shetun and Geniza that they have to be, that the Kohen Gadol clothing are buried away. They are fit. So they're fit for a Kohen Hedyot. So umatam alomar v'nicham sham. So what is Rabbi Dosa going to make of the words v'nicham sham? Shelo yishtamish ben Yom HaKippur Macher. That they should not be used on a subsequent Yom Kippur. So now, the question comes to a head. My love. Behol kamithli. The question, meaning the name of the Tanoi. The Gemara had raised the question, can we say that the machlokas we saw before between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding the classification of Trumas Hadeshen, is this a machlokas Tanoim? So, my love, is it not so? Behol kamithli. And in this matter, we have a machlokas Tanoim. The Mor Sovar Avodahi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that for Trumas Hadeshen you need to have him wearing all four clothing, holds that Trumas Hadeshen is an avoda, like Rabbi Yochanan had said. So Rabbi Yochanan would have as his basis Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, or more so Rabbi Dosa, who didn't learn like that. He had a different approach. So Umar Sova Lav Avoda He. And Rabbi Dosa would say that Trumas Hadeshen is not an avoda. And that would be the basis of Reish Lakish making the machlokas amoroyim between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, paralleling an earlier machlokas tanoyim. Lo, the Gemara rejects the suggestion made. The kule almo avodahi. Everyone, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa, these tanoyim will go like Rabbi Yochanan. That Trumas Hadeshen is classified as a formal sacrificial activity that we'll call an avoda. So then, if as far as the Tanoim are concerned, everyone agrees, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa say that it is an avoda, so what is their machlokas? And here, the machlokas Tanoim is as follows. Mor sovar sricha kroy lebuye. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I need posuk power. I need a special verse to include tamarbe trumas hadeshen as being an avoda, and hence requiring all four garments. Omar Sava, Rabbi Dosa will tell you that Lo Tzricha Kroy Lebuye. I don't need a posuk for that purpose. The Rashi explains a little more. We're looking at Rashi on the third narrow line from the top. Tzricha Kroy Lebuye, the Lo Tema, that you shouldn't think Hani Davka. The posuk in posuk Gimel that mentioned the Midobar, the Ksoinis, and the Michnasayim, that only them are needed, and to then conclude the lav avoda. So, according to Rebbe Yehuda, I need a pasuk to dispel that thought. Namely, I need yilbash for that purpose. Rashi goes on, umor sava lo tzricha lebuye, lo tzricha, I don't need a pasuk to include lebuye lemikroy, the cave of the goli ksoinis bad kodesh, umichnesei kodesh, since the pasuk reveals the need for a ksonis. Now, the word ksonis bad isn't an actual quote from the pasuk over here. Over here, the pasuk mentioned mido bad, but it's a reference to the ksonis. Bad means linen, and the pasuk mentioned the michnesei kodesh, the priestly, the kohen gadol pants. And from the fact that the Torah expects him to wear his at these two big day kahuna, so ashmina davodahi ubayakulo. It's obvious then, as far as Rabbi Dosa is concerned, that it's an avoda and you need all the clothing. It's coming to include the Yom Kippur teaching, in which Rabbi Tosfos mentioned that the Big Day Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur are suitable for a Kohen Hedyot during the rest of the year. So at this point in the Gemara, as we draw near the conclusion of our shiur, we saw a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And certainly, if you were focusing on Shitas, the Tana Rabbi Elezer, is Truma Sedeshen considered an avoda? And we had seen the Tana Rabbi Elezer allowing Kohen Baal Mum to be engaged in Hoitzoa Sedeshen. The question involved in our last sukkah, the most recent discussion, was what about Trumas Hadeshen? Rabbi Yochanan said that Trumas Hadeshen certainly is an avoda, and there's no chance that anyone, even Rabbi Lezer, would allow a Kohen Baal Mum for doing that. And Rabbi Reish Lakish raised the approach that Trumas Hadeshen, certainly in the eyes of Rabbi Eliezer, is not considered an avoda. As far as trying to say that is a machlokes tanoim, the Gemara rejected that approach. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.